Hello, Southside family. This is a great opportunity that the Lord has provided for us to connect again and for me to share with you what He has put in my heart. I hope the Lord is taking care of you, and I hope you are safe and healthy where you are, and that you are grateful for what God is doing in your life through Jesus Christ by the Holy Spirit. We are continuing with our series, God's Revelation is Our Invitation. And today we are looking at the third plague in Egypt. The Lord is using these plagues to reveal Himself and His power to Pharaoh, to the Egyptians, and also to the Israelites. Because by doing this, the Lord is inviting them. He is inviting them to submit to Him. He is inviting Pharaoh and his magicians and the Egyptians to submit to Him. But He's also inviting Egyptians to trust Him, to know that He is the Lord and to put their trust in Him. He is also using the plagues to invite the Israelites to believe in Him, to continue hoping in this God. So turn with me, please, to Exodus chapter 8. We are going to read verse 16 to 19. Exodus chapter 8, 16 to 19. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Tell Aaron, stretch out your staff and strike the dust of the ground, and throughout the land of Egypt, the dust will become gnats." They did this, and when Aaron stretched out his hand with the staff and struck the dust of the ground, gnats came on people and animals. All the dust throughout the land of Egypt became gnats. But when the magicians tried to produce gnats by their secret arts, they could not. Since the gnats were on people and animals everywhere, the magicians said to Pharaoh, "This is the finger of God." But Pharaoh's heart was hard, and he would not listen, just as the Lord had said. At Southside Bible Fellowship, we believe that the Bible is the Word of God. And that since we are God's children, then the Bible is God's Word for us. Father, I thank you for this moment. I thank you for this morning. I thank you for this opportunity that you have provided for us to hear from you, that we may be reminded of your great power, of your grace, and the good plans that you have for us. I thank you for the power of your word. And I'm praying that the Holy Spirit may speak to us. I'm praying that the Holy Spirit may reach unto us and speak to the deepest part of our questions and needs. And through it all, Lord, that you may be glorified in Jesus' name. Amen. So in this third plague, the Lord strikes Egypt without a warning. The first, the second, and the second plague, the Lord would tell Pharaoh, "This is what I'm going to do if you're not going to let my people go." But this time, he does not tell him. He just strikes. He tells Moses to pass the message to Aaron. And as Aaron obeys, they are gnats. Gnats here are referring to different kinds of unknowing, non-biting, and biting insects. They are small insects, but they are unknowing because they infiltrate the land of Egypt. And God is using insects here to reveal Himself. He is revealing Himself to the gods of Egypt, to the Egyptians, to Pharaoh and the Israelites. And God is showing by using insects, he's showing that there is nothing that he cannot use to show that power belongs to him. And I think this is encouraging news. Just knowing that God can use insects, it's very encouraging. Because there are some of us that look at ourselves, and because of our background, because of our history, because of the lifestyle that we have lived, we look at ourselves and the only thing we can say is, God cannot use someone like me. Some of you that are listening may be feeling the same. You look at yourself and at the weaknesses that you have, and you are saying that I am the least person God can use. Guess what? He can use insects. He can use various kinds of insects. And my friend, if you feel that you are the least person that God can use, you know what the problem is? The problem is you don't really understand this God. You don't really comprehend his power. You haven't appreciated the kind of God this God is. Because God is famous for using the highly unlikely things, the highly unlikely people of this world to show that power belongs to him. God is famous for using the highly unlikely people and things of this world to show that power belongs to him. So Pharaoh, when he sees the insects coming out and they are filling the land of Israel, they are in everywhere, in his bedroom, in the bathroom, in everywhere he goes, they are on people and on animals. He calls his magicians. This is the same thing he did. He did it when the Lord turned the Nile into blood. When Aaron's staff turned into a snake, he called his magicians. When the Lord brought out frogs, he called his magicians. And every time the magicians came, they did the same thing. They dropped their staff, the staff turned into snakes. They turned the water into blood. They brought up more frogs. They magicians always mimicked what Moses and Aaron did. This time they come, the magicians try. The goal was to send a message to Moses and Aaron that this is not new to us. This is not something that we cannot do. This doesn't reveal anything. If you can turn the Nile into blood, we can also turn it into blood. If you can turn your staff into a snake, we can also turn the staff into a snake. Yeah, we can do it too. That was the goal. But this time, the magicians try to bring up insects, and guess what? They fail. And this is another thing that the Lord is showing us here. He's showing us that even the power that the magicians were having, they were able to do it because the Lord allowed them to do it. This is telling us something about the enemy of our faith, Satan. He has no power. There is nothing that he can do unless the Lord allows him to do it. And this time the magicians fail and they concede defeat before the Lord. And this is what they say to Pharaoh. The magician said to Pharaoh in verse 19, this is the finger of God. They are not referring to the Nile God. They are not referring to the frog goddess. They are not referring to the gods of Egypt. They are referring to the God of Moses and Aaron. They can see that this is the finger of God. They are confessing that the power that is accomplishing this is beyond us. We cannot do it, Pharaoh. Can't you see? This is the finger of God. And this is where you and I would expect Pharaoh to submit, to say, praise be to the Lord. This is where we expect Pharaoh to say, Lord, I give my life to you. There is no other God but you. But Pharaoh does not. Because we are told that Pharaoh's heart was hard and he would not listen, just as the Lord had said. Instead of turning to the Lord, Pharaoh turns away from the Lord. Even the magicians, after confessing that this is the finger of the Lord, they don't submit. Instead, they follow their leader, Pharaoh. The finger of God is mentioned in two passages in the Hebrew Bible. Here in Exodus 8 verse 19 and in Exodus 31 verse 18, where it is referring to the two tablets of stone that were given to Moses. The Bible says that they were inscribed by the finger of God. They were inscribed by the finger of God. In the New Testament, we see the finger of God in Luke chapter 11, verse 20. Luke chapter 11, verse 20, where Jesus, he was casting out demons, and some of the Pharisees, the scribes, and the Jews who had not believed in him were saying that he is doing it by the power of Satan. And Jesus responded to them. He said, but if I drive out demons by the finger of God, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. If I drive out demons by the finger of God, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. In both cases, the finger of God is referring to God's power. It is revealing God's power. It's revealing that mighty power that you and I rely on. When the magicians saw the insects and they tried to do what they could do by their secret arts and failed, they said, this is the finger of God, because they realized that there was power there that they could not overcome. There was something that was just beyond them, something that made them make that confession. The finger of God refers to God's power, but it also refers to his grace. When God was striking Egypt with insects, with all these plagues, it was not just revealing his anger, his desire to see his people freed. It was also revealing his grace. He is doing something for his people, not because of anything that they have done to him, but he was also giving an opportunity to the Israelites to submit to him, to acknowledge him, to believe him, to trust him. So yes, he's striking Egypt. He's revealing his power, but he's also revealing his grace. The finger of God also refers to God's presence. When the magicians confessed that this is the finger of God, they were confessing that God was right there. He was doing something. They were looking at the insects, but those insects were there to reveal the God of Moses and Aaron. the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God that appeared from a burning bush, the God that has come down to rescue his people. Those insects were revealing this God, and the magicians were able to see it and confess, this is the finger of God. The message from this passage is clear. The finger of God points us to God. It points us to God himself. The Ten Commandments that were given, they were given so that they may point us to God. They were given to reveal our weaknesses because we cannot keep them no matter how we try. And the Ten Commandments makes us realize that we are weak, that we are sinners, and that we need a Savior. The Ten Commandments that were inscribed by the finger of God point us to God. They make us realize that there is someone that can help us. They make us realize that we are weak. The finger of God points us to God. When God was striking Egypt with these plagues, every plague was pointing people to God. Every plague was a finger of God, and every plague was pointing people to God. It was revealing his power, it was revealing his grace, it was revealing his presence, and it was pointing people back to him. The finger of God points us to God so that we may know God and believe. In fact, part of our vision here at Southside Bible Fellowship, part of our vision is that we may connect with people from all walks of life and encourage them to know Jesus Christ. It is our hope and prayer that anyone that attends Southside Bible Fellowship will come to know Jesus, and he or she will grow into that relationship. They will know him, believe him, and follow him. Because the finger of God points us to God so that we may know him, so that we may believe in him. Number two, the finger of God points us to God so that we may see what God is doing. As a believer, every time God opens your eyes to what he is doing in your life or around you, that's the finger of God pointing you to what God is doing. And every time you know, every time that you see what God is doing, that revelation is an invitation for you to be involved. Number three, the finger of God points us to God so that we may submit to him. Ultimately, as Christians, our goal is to submit to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. It is to walk in that total obedience. It is to yield ourselves to his lordship, to get to a point where we can confess without shame that he is the Lord of lords. He is the King of kings. He is the Lord above and the Lord below. The finger of God does not just reveal what God is doing or his power and his grace so that we may be amazed by them. The finger of God points us to God so that we may submit to God, so that we may know God and believe in him, so that we may see what God is doing, and so that we may submit to him. The finger of God is an invitation for us to join God in what he is doing. My brother and my sister, every time you see what God is doing, God is inviting you to be part of it. This is what is happening in the scriptures. This is what God does. Every time he reveals himself, every time he reveals his plan, that revelation is an invitation for people to be involved. The finger of God is an invitation for us to join God in what he is doing. It points us to God by warning us. It tells us, don't do this. Don't go there. Do not attempt it. It is a warning to us. It brings a warning. It was bringing a warning to the Egyptians. God is telling Pharaoh, Pharaoh, can't you see what I can do? I was able to turn a staff into a snake, and I swallowed your snake. I turned the Nile into blood, the source of your life, the source of your economy, the source of your power. I turned it into blood, and fish were dying. I brought up frogs into your bedroom, Pharaoh. Can't you see what I am able to do? It points us to God by warning us. Number two, the finger of God points us to God by directing us, providing a direction. You see, people will claim that they don't know God, they don't know Jesus Christ, but in the end, no one will have a reason to say, I didn't know. No one will turn to God and say, God, I didn't know that Jesus was your son. I didn't know that he died for me on the cross. I didn't know that you had provided a way out. I didn't know that you were a loving God, a gracious God, a compassionate God. I just didn't know. No one will be able to say that. Because my friend, when you look at the heavens, when you look at the skies and the birds of the air and the oceans, everything you see did not come up by itself. Everything that was created by God is meant to reveal God's power, God's grace, and God's presence. Those things that the Lord has created, the lives that he has transformed, are meant to point us to God. They're meant to tell us that this is the way. The word of God that is given to us, is here to provide us a direction. It is here to tell us what God expects from us. It is here to tell us what God has for us, what way he wants us to go, what kind of life, a lifestyle he wants us to have. My friend, we cannot claim that we don't know. The magicians couldn't say that we don't know what is this. We don't know what's going on here. They just couldn't say that. They had to make a confession. This is the finger of God. Even though they did not submit to that God, they did not yield to that God, they couldn't avoid confessing it. We saw Pharaoh last Sunday. He had to ask for prayers. He called Moses to pray for him so that the frogs may go away. Even Pharaoh confessed that this was the work of the Lord, that it was the work of the Lord that brought up frogs. Pharaoh confessed that. And he asked for prayers. He did not believe in him. He did not submit to him. But he cannot claim not knowing the Lord. If this has been an excuse you've been using, it's high time you submit yourself. Because God knows you and He loves you. And He has a plan to forgive you and to bring you to His family so that you can be a new creation and begin a new lifestyle with Jesus Christ as a child of God. Doesn't matter how sinful you have been. Doesn't matter how disobedient you have been. God loves you so much and He can transform your life just as He has transformed our lives. Number three, the finger of God points us to God by giving us hope. Look at the Israelites in Egypt. They had been there for 400 years. Pain, anger, hopelessness. They served Pharaoh as slaves. 400 years of hopelessness, of pain. They cried to the Lord. And the Lord is responding. So when they see these things happen, even though they might be facing them as well, when the Nile turned into blood and when frogs fill the land, and now when insects fill the land of Egypt, they are also affected here. But while it's bringing disparity on the other side to them, it's giving them hope. Every insect that they saw that day was giving them hope. Because every insect was revealing the power of God. It was revealing the presence of God and the grace of God. See, this is the beauty of God's power. When a believer is going through pain, when a believer is suffering, is experiencing difficulties, there is something in a believer that gives him and her strength and hope and encouragement. There is something that tells the believer that God is up to something. Just keep praying, just keep waiting, just keep crying, because the Lord is doing something. The finger of God brings us hope. See, as a believer, you may have cried to the Lord on behalf of your loved one. They were sick, very sick, and you asked the Lord, God, please intervene. God, please do something. God, I trust in you. I believe in you. I know you are able to do it. And you cried out to the Lord, and you cried out to the Lord. And then your loved one still died. And that's the point. The enemy whispers in your ears, where is your God now? Where is His power? Why is He not doing what you are asking? He doesn't love you anymore. But because you believe in this God, you are not crushed. You may be tempted to ask the same questions, to feel like He has left you. But when you look at His word and you look at God's people in Egypt who cried out to the Lord, even though they are in slavery and they can see the insects and the frogs and the Nile turning into blood, even though all this are bringing despair and pain and frustration to the Egyptians, the people of God that are in that land, they see those things and they bring them hope. You see, sometimes difficulties are meant to open our eyes to the presence of God. Sometimes difficulties are meant to tell us that God is at work. Sometimes difficulties are meant to remind us that there is someone that we can turn to. There is someone that we can call upon. There is someone that we can bring all our cares to Him, because He cares for us. As a Christian, difficulties don't turn you away from God. They bring you closer to the Lord, because they remind you of the hope that you have in Him. The finger of God points us to God by giving us hope. And where the finger of God is pointing, my friend, the hand of God will provide a way. Let me take you to the New Testament, John chapter 8. In John chapter 8, verse 1 to 11, there is a woman who was caught in adultery. She was caught in the act of adultery, and she was brought to Jesus by the elders and Pharisees and the scribes, lawyers and religious leaders of that time. They brought her to Jesus and said to Jesus, "The law requires that we stone such a person to death. What do you say?" The law requires that we stone her. Now you read that text, and one of the questions you ask yourself is, why did they have to bring him to Jesus? They should have stoned her if that's what the law required. But John also tells us that they were doing this to trap Jesus, because they wanted to find something that they can accuse him of. They wanted him to break the law so that they can have a reason to arrest him. And Jesus listened to them, and he could tell that there's a conspiracy here. The enemy has a plan here. There is an agenda here. And we are told that Jesus stooped low. He bent down, and with his finger, he began to write. And then he stood up. They were still asking questions. They wanted an answer from him. They were impatient. But Jesus stood up. He looked at them and he said, "Let him who has no sin be the first one to throw the first stone." And then he went back. He bent down again and continued to write. And we are told that they began to leave until there was no one left except Jesus and the woman. Jesus was the only one qualified to stone this woman, but he did not. Instead, Jesus accepted her, and he told her, "Go and live your life of sin. Go and sin no more. Go and live a different lifestyle. You have been changed. You have been transformed. Here is an opportunity for you to enjoy a life with Jesus Christ, a life of hope and peace and joy." Instead of shaming her and subjecting her to public ridicule, Jesus accepted her, forgave her, and set her free. By his finger, Jesus exposed the religious hypocrisy of the Pharisees and the scribes. By his fingers, Jesus revealed the grace of God to this woman. By his finger, he revealed the power to forgive. By his finger, Jesus revealed the presence of the Lord right there. We don't know what he was writing. Some of us would have loved to know, what is it that Jesus was writing down there? Some theologians have suggested that he wrote the Ten Commandments. Others have suggested that he was writing the names of her accusers and their sins. And there's so many other ideas that have been suggested, but the truth is, we don't know. What we know is the people that were there, the people that were present at that time, could read what Jesus was writing, and they were convicted to a point of turning away. They did not turn to the Lord in submission. They turned away. And there are people that will listen to this message. They will hear how God loves them, and instead of turning to submission, they will turn away. You know, some of us are like Pharaoh and his magicians. We are guilty in the eyes of the Lord. We have sinned. We have contended with God for a long time. We have tried to escape his hand that has come to save us. But God is giving us a chance. And if you don't believe in Jesus, just turn to him. By faith, ask him to forgive you and to save you. He promises to do that. Some of us are like the woman caught in the act. We have experienced God's grace. We know how lost we were. We know how sinful we have been. But we also understand what it means to be forgiven. We have experienced the joy that comes by being a child of God. We know that God has kept us safe. We know that he loves us, and we know that he has secured us. We have been set free. Some of us, excuse me, are like the children of Israel. We have cried out to God. We have cried our tears out until there are no more tears to cry. We are in pain. We have called on this God. We have waited for so long. We just want him to do something. We want him to heal us. We want him to deliver us. We want him to provide for us. We want him to show himself up and do something about our situation. This pain has been with me for so long. I have been grieving for so long. I have been lonely for so long. I have been praying for a husband for so long. I have been praying for a wife for so long. I have been praying for a child for so long. God, please do something. We are like the children of Israel. They felt. It felt as if God had left them, but God was concerned about them, and he was doing something about it. And so I want to encourage you today that even though it may feel like God is not concerned with what you're going through, even though you may be tempted to feel like the pain that you've experienced will be there forever, there is hope. Because we know that the finger of God points us to God. And we know that God is powerful. When it feels like we have no way out, he steps in, just as he stepped in Egypt to rescue his people. Just as Christ stepped in this woman's life to protect her, to save her, to rescue her. God has a way of stepping in. Sometimes he will step in and bring healing. He will step in and bring deliverance. He will step in and give you hope. He will step in and encourage you. As a believer, just know where the finger of God is pointing, the hand of God will provide a way. Be encouraged. Because the finger of God points us to God. Father, I thank you. I thank you for every person that is listening to this message. I pray that you may minister to them in your own way. That one person who is calling you for salvation, may you respond to him. May you respond to her. That one person that is calling you for healing, may you respond to him. May you respond to her. That one person that is crying out, Lord, they have a need that they have been calling upon you to intervene. I pray that, Father, in your own way, Lord, may you respond to them. And may you be glorified in their lives as they experience your power. As they experience your love, as they experience your grace, in Jesus' name, amen.